going to prove a theorem which establishes some equivalence of two series, like Lambda-Ginzburg A model and Lambda-Ginzburg B model. And so I will try to explain the stuff along the way. So basically, we have this kind of like a mirror web. Like we have a bunch of interesting theories. Like say, for example, we have some kind of Lambda-Ginzburg Klabiel A model and Klabiel B model coming from this kind of string theory stuff, and also Lambda-Ginzburg A model and the Lambda-Ginzburg B model. And well, there are a bunch of relations between these models. I mean, for example, we have mirror, we inspect some kind of mirror symmetry between these two stuff, and also some kind of correspondence between Lambda-Ginzburg Klabiel, for example. And so mathematically, this theory somehow is pretty much established, like now called Gormutian theory. So it's somehow like counting holomorphic curves. And in fact, on the other side, it's pretty much like Hodge theory. And it's Hodge theory for Klabiel and also for some kind of singularities that we explain carefully later. And actually for the Lambda-Ginzburg A model nowadays, people also find a mathematical foundations for the theory, which nowadays called FJW theory. I also explain a little bit about the theory later. And basically, this theory is somehow counting solutions of Witten equation on the Riemann surface. So this gives you some kind of interesting intersection theory as well. And on this side, I mean, this has a much earlier history. I mean, you get some kind of flat structure solutions of, for example, WD Weber equation. I mean, starting from the 1976, people find solutions on the in Lie theory and later developed for arbitrary isolated singularities. So let's call this one Saito Givontail theory in terms of mathematics. So this correspondence, the mirror theorem here is basically established already by Givontail, for example, for many a large class of examples, and also by Lian Liu Yao. So my talk is basically to prove the correspondence for this one. And for very large general singularities. Okay, that's the goal. Let me first explain some basic setup. We're gonna consider some kind of quasi-homogeneous singularities. So let's call this one W. And this one is called homogeneous, so let's specify the weight. And let's call this Qi the weight. Of the variable, for example, and it also have a large class of interesting invariants. The first one we're gonna do is a central charge. It's given by this number. And we have some kind of partial classifications for singularities with respect to the central charge. And to do some kind of mirror stuff, we need some special data. The first pretty well-known structure in this kind of mirror construction for the singularities is to assume the following condition. Some kind of invertibility. This is a very confusing name. But what I mean here is basically to say like, okay, well, the number of variables is gonna be the same thing as the number of monomials. So. And after some kind of rescaling, you can always write your singularity in the following way. And that's the type of singularity we'll be studying. So you see like the number of monomials, the same thing as the number of variables, m by m. It's basically described by m by m matrix. So this Aij here is called exponent matrix. And this type of singularity is a very special structure. So for example, there's a special type of mirror construction, which is due to Berkman, Woodbridge, and Krawitz. The mirror singularity is turns out very simple. You have this exponent matrix. You look at a transpose matrix, and you got the mirror singularity. So that's the mirror singularity. Let's call this one a W transpose. So if you write it down, it's extremely simple. And you may wonder why this is a mirror. I mean, again, we don't have a very good understanding, but this one works in a large, for a large class. I mean, this one is like classified by the following property. The exponent matrix mirror is the transpose of the previous one. Okay. Yes, this is the orbital here. Thank you. Yeah. And also we need to specify the orbital group. Yes, yes. And that's a singularity, but also we need to specify orbital structure. So let's call this one. The diagonal symmetry is of this polynomial. So for example, it's given by some kind of lambda one, lambda n. So this is a symmetry group. And to explore this mirror, I mean, I have to specify some kind of subgroup of this one on one side and another group of the mirror singularity. So indeed, it's an orbital structure involved. So the basic conjecture is the following, which we usually call like a Lyman-Ginzburg mirror conjecture, is that, I mean, if you look at some kind of orbital Lyman-Ginzburg A model, for example, let me still use its name, FGRW theory. For this singularity, with this kind of maximal orbital group, it's going to be equivalent to some kind of Hodge theory for the singularity itself. So let me still say this Saito-Givens-Tail theory, I will specify later, of the mirror singularity. So in particular, you have some kind of generating functions on both sides, and the invariants you get are essentially the same. And there's a generalization of this conjecture. It's like you can choose some smaller group here, and you can enlarge, put some orbital group here as well, and this is a generalized conjecture. But that's the one we're going to describe in this talk. Okay, so the main theorem today is the following. If this polynomial doesn't have a charge of 1/2, then this kind of Lyman-Ginzburg mirror conjecture holds. In the sense, if you calculate the corresponding generating function, I mean, to all generators, the two theory actually coincide. That's the main theorem. And actually, there's some known results before, like. So for example, the first established example is ADE singularities described by the central charge less than one. And this is essentially due to Fan, Jarvis, Ryan when they construct the Lyman-Ginzburg A model. And there's some other generalization to some higher central charge. For example, you have a simple elliptic singularity. And this somehow classified by the central charge equals one. And it's actually also known. I mean, it's due to Shen, Krawitz, and Milanov. And there's an essential difficulty if you go beyond central charge one. Like if you go to higher, there exists some kind of irrelevant deformation, and there's non-trivial mixing between this kind of relevant and irrelevant deformation. And it is because of this difficulty we developed some new method to do this computation. And we the first example, non-trivial example beyond this one is the first given by unimodular exceptional singularities. And this type of singularities, all of them has central charge between 1 and 2, for example, a subset of this class. And this is due to myself and with my collaborators, where we develop a very general method to compute some kind of generating functions, I mean, for singularity theory. Okay. Yes? Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the QI is specified, I mean. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't depend on the class of singularity. I mean, this QI is, if you look at some kind of, so, I mean, if, yes. No. Yeah, actually for this type of singularities, it's all classified. I'll explain to you the full list later, yeah. There's some special cases for this QI equals 1/2. It's due to some difficulties in the calculation in this long solving like a written equation. I'll explain later as well, so. I mean, so far, this basically the difficulty to this QI equals 1/2 is only computational. I mean, some examples we can compute and we can check is actually true, but we don't have a general result yet. So let me just leave it at this moment. Again, I will tell you the full list of the classification. So let me start with this kind of long-logism A model first. Again, this kind of, this mathematical theory is established by Fan, Jarvis, Ryan. So nowadays it's called FJW theory. Let me first explain a little bit some terminologies. I mean, this is going to be some kind of intersection theory on the state space. The kind of state space, let's call this one FJW state space. Is for the pair. It's basically an orbifold version of the dual of the Lefschetz symbols. And so let's first give you the formula. So you have a bunch of twisted sectors. And you specify some kind of Lefschetz symbols in the twisted sector. And so it's a kind of relative cohomology class. And that's it. And take the G-ring part. So here, like this one is the fixed point. So you specify any element in this group. Look at a fixed point in this linear space. It's a sublinear space. And you can restrict your polynomials to this sublinear space. You get some kind of like smaller sector for this Landau-Ginzburg model. And look at a corresponding Lefschetz symbol and look at a G Meron part. And that is space. So basically the goal of this solving Witten equation is to give us intersection theory on this space. So for example, the usual Gomertian theory is for example, you count solutions of, for example, the Cauchy-Riemann equation, say partial holomorphic curves, and you try to specify some boundary conditions some cycles. For example, roughly speaking. And you look at these kind of equations, you count the number of solutions, you get this intersection theory. On the usual Drumcore mode of the target. But then if you do this kind of Langevin model, you gotta have something very similar. So in the Langevin case, oh, by the portrait goes right on this side. Which one? Oh, the third board. Okay. Yeah, okay. Let me try it first. So actually, the Langevin word, I mean, basically, you try to compute the solution, say, construct some maps. Essentially, from the state space, some kind of, this can be playing the role of like some kind of boundary conditions to some kind of cycles in MG by solving some kind of Witten equation. So this one. For example, I really mean moduli of solutions of Witten equation. Say this type of equation. And you specify some boundary conditions from this lefty symbols. And this actually a subtlety, I mean, you want to make sense of the equation after Riemann surface. So here, I mean, you have to do some data, for example, this Li, some kind of sections, some line bundles on an orbital curve. And also have to specify some identifications between line bundles and the canonical line bundle. For example, some kind of W structure we're going to call. So in this case, you try to identify your singularity, say, so this represents particular element in this monomial of the Langevin theory. I've identified this one to a log canonical Li bundle on the orbital curve. And then you have to choose some kind of special metric to make sense of this equation, some kind of cylinder metric. Around the Mach point. And you can write down a nice equation on up to Riemann surface and can try to solve it. And then the way you solve it is like locally, you're gonna do some kind of linear perturbation of this Langevin potential. You're gonna specify some points, the critical points, and then you specify like the solution, so I push to some critical points, and this give you this moduli space. And this is a modular space is pretty much rigorously established. Okay, so that's a model. And basically to get invariance, for example, just similar to convolution theory, you just integrate the cycles on MG. The virtual fundamental class. This is like Langevin for A model invariant. I again, I mean, this is not easy to calculate, I mean, in practice, but for many situations, we can use symmetries to determine the value. I'll explain a little bit more later. And that's all I want to say about this Lambda-Ginzburg A model. So Lambda-Ginzburg B model probably has a longer start history, I mean, starting from 1976, I mean, when people studied the Lee theory. So in this story, I mean, let me start with some kind of isolated singularity. I can use this little f here just for some conventions in singularity community. So let's call this one x. It's a germ of some kind of isolated singularity. And for example, if this kind of f is an ABE type, of ADE type, and you can see like this theory is related to the ADE Lie groups, and for example, and that's the first place where people construct solutions of WD Weber equation. Now, for this case, I mean, the way you can get some invariance is the following. First, you construct so-called formal Briscoe lattice. And it's the following guy. I mean, let's call this one H plus. It's n form. You add into one variable. Let's call this one z. Sometimes people use H bar. And otherwise, this relation. I mean, this is a very interesting space associated to any kind of singularity. It's called a Briscoe lattice. It's kind of formal completed Briscoe lattice. And this lattice has a very nice structure. For example, this is a free module over this guy of rank equals the Müller number. And if you try to look at this Briscoe lattice, I mean, if you try to say, okay, well, you think about this Z as some kind of deformation, you model Z, you get exactly the Müller ring. So this is kind of interesting deformation. So this basically, if you choose some coordinate, this is basically isomorphic to the Müller ring, a Jacobi algebra. And later, this Z will play the role of like gravitational descendants in our theory. Okay. So the key structure for this Briscoe lattice is some kind of duality structure, for example. It's constructed by Kyoji Saito around 1982, that there's a natural pairing on this Briscoe lattice. And goes to this guy. So far, these only look like a formal variable. This bar here means z goes to negative z. And don't do any conjugate on other stuff. I mean, on this only thing, I mean, for bar. And this pairing, I mean, exists in very general setting, such that if you look at the leading order of this pairing, restricted to this kind of Müller ring, say, for example, the leading order, and then we find like this one is isomorphic to Müller ring, and also this guy. And this pattern is nothing but the usual residual pairing. So somehow under some kind of limit, z equals zero, this pairing reduced to the ordinary residual pairing that we know pretty well. And this pairing is called a higher residual pairing. So essentially, it's the extension of the usual radial parent to some higher structures. And this will play one of the most important role in our story. Okay. Now, the way you get this structure is allowed to, us to construct some kind of implied structure associated to the singularity and do some kind of constructions in symplectic geometry. So, for example, you can enlarge this space to get some kind of loop space. So let's call this one H. For example, you can add into this Lorentz polynomials. And you can use this higher radical pairing to construct a symplectic structure. And for example, let's call this an omega. This is the residue at z equals 0 of the following higher order parent. So I want to take the power for z to negative n. So the point is like this one allows you to construct a natural symplectic structure such that you look at this H plus, which is a lattice, is the isotropic subspace. And this is the place we're going to do some kind of quantization stuff. And let's call this one the big phase space. Essentially, we're going to construct some kind of generic functions, I mean, defined on this H plus inside this invited space. So to this one, for example, we want this invited space to be like a cotangent bundle. So to get some kind of generic functions for a function, the potential, to do this kind of like classical symplectic construction. So you want to say specify some choice of the polarization. So you need to choose some kind of splitting. And this splitting is the most important data in our theory as well. So this negative part, it's also isotropic and preserved by multiplying by the inverse and some other conditions, very technical conditions. But let me just specify here. And this data is equivalent to the following stuff. So for example, once you can choose such a splitting, you can define a nice splitting of the quotient of this the Milner ring. So for example, if the splitting of this map. So this is the splitting. So another way of saying this is like you have a bunch of polynomials in the Milner ring, and then you want to look at some lifting of these representatives to some other polynomials and with some specified properties. For example, one of the most important property you look at is splitting. The condition is like, suppose you write this one as mu polynomials which under this quotient give a representative of this mu naught ring, then the splitting, the condition for the splitting has to be satisfied for the following stuff, like phi phi j. The only leading term survives while higher terms are vanishing. So this means like vanishing of higher residues. The point is like the early theory of QG Saito is that like whenever you can find such a splitting, you can get the solution of W Weber equation. So let me specify here. Oops. So this is the main theory of QG Saito. Again, this is around 1982. So a choice of splitting. Give you some kind of open manifold structure. On the mu naught ring. So this means like there is a kind of flat coordinate on the space and some kind of potential function solving this kind of WD Weber equation. And again, the existence of the splitting is non-trivial, I mean highly non-trivial. So it's proved by Morihiro Saito about the existence. And actually there's a big problem for the choice here, because actually you can find like the splitting is not unique. So you get a many choice of the Frobenius manifold structure for any singularity. And the problem is like which one is the correct one or which one is relevant for mirror symmetry. Let me give you one example. For AD singularity, they're unique, but for the first non-trivial example for say simple elliptic singularity, this guy, cubic, you can find a representative of element in mu naught ring by the following stuff. For example, you can find one, x1, x2, and x3, and x1, x2, x2, x3, x3, x1. All these are good, but a lot of this marginal deformation, you have a choice. X1, x2, x3, plus sigma f. And it turns out like you can, for any choice of the sigma, you find like this is a good splitting. So the higher relative pairing vanish for all of the choice. And it turns out that only for sigma equals zero, this one has a mirror interpretation in terms of Landau-Gibbs A model, so solving Witten equation. And that's a very mysterious stuff, like which one is the correct choice? And also this is gonna be one of our main goals later. In the theorem, we have to find the correct splitting to prove mirror symmetry. Okay. Which one? Yes. Which I mean, great. It's called which classes? Yeah, and a model, it definitely integrated over the MG.
I mean, there's no MG in the B model.
Yeah, there's no MG in the B model. Yes. So it's kind of, for example, it's kind of like Carabas Mesa type theory. So it's like a gauge theory stuff. It turns out like this model, as the Saito theory has very close relation with BCOE theory. So. Okay, so let me explain to you like how to get the invariance out of this data. I mean, suppose we make a choice, chosen. So we got this basis. And then you can look at universal deformation of this
singularity. And actually, I looked at an extended universal deformation that allowed this kind of gravitational descendants. So like, let's call this one a very general deformation. It's not the usual one we write for unfoldings. And I say an alpha. So the power for z represents the descendant direction. I mean, this is when k equals 0, this is the usual unfolding. Once we choose a set of elements in this Milner ring. And if you look at the corresponding subset of the symplectic space, so let's call this one L. Delta F over Z minus 1. So for every element in U, you expand this like polynomials, and you represent this element as element in the H. So this one is parameterized by H plus. And the key structure here is that, I mean, if you view this one as a map from H plus to H, you can improve the following property. So first, L is a Lagrangian manifold, a formal Lagrangian submanifold. And second, if you look at the tangent map, the leading order, I mean, this is definitely isomorphic to the H plus part. Isomorphism. Now I can apply a favorite trick in simplified geometry, like you know this one is gonna be, has a generating function. The graph of some df, f naught. And this f naught, a function defined on h plus. And this is the generic function for the Lagrangian for B model. And at genus zero. And there's a different way to go to higher genus, I will explain later. This is the generic zero generating function. Okay, so another way of saying this is like if you can expand this transformation. So for example, if you try to write down this equation, what it says, you find the following structure. So it's a, basically the graph exact form, so it can always be rewritten in the following way. So this is a, like a positive part, which plays a role of the coordinate. This is the part on the negative part, which is a, plays a role for the df. I can find these transformations of the coordinate. So for example, you find this this guy, you can solve this equation, for example, you get this power series expansion for tau. This function of u, this trend of coordinates, the flat coordinate. For your theory. And in particular, if you turn off this gravitational descendants, say by setting K is tau to be zero. And it will resolve this equation. Like if you find the coordinate transformation back and solve this equation, this side have a very complicated expression. And we find like this left-hand side represents the so-called the Seidel's primitive form. And it's because of this transformation where we make this expression usually very complicated if you want to write down this expression in terms of the coordinate. That gives the fact like this primitive form is very non-trivial in general. And that's the play the role of Calabi-Yau volume form is going to integrate. And the right-hand side play the role of so-called J function, given Tell's J function for doing mirror symmetry. Secondly, and this construction works at turn level. Actually, I mean, so far we're working with some cohomology, but it actually can work with cochains and some for some polyvector fields. And this F0 will become some kind of BCOA interaction with gravitational descendant opened. And this is like, for example, my theory developed by Casolo and myself. So that's give you some kind of gauge theory on the Calabi-Yau geometry. Okay. Now, I want to explain to you how to apply this one to the examples. The first way is to classify all the singularities that can appear in this mirror business. And second, we need to figure out which is the correct splitting to do mirror symmetry. And before we can proceed to compare anything coming from these two theories. So first, the classification is known. It's due to Crazer and Stuckey. So the theorem is like any kind of invertible polynomials in the sense of the very beginning. If a direct sum of the following types. First one is Feynman. So basically it's very simple. X A, for example, and again, put a bunch of A's. It's direct sum of these types. Second is loop type. So this polynomial is interesting, like it has the following type, X1, A1, X2, plus X2, A2, X3, plus essential, plus Xn, An, X1. So you see like it circles around, it goes back. The third one is the trend type. So it has the same form, it goes to the end, but it stops somewhere. So the last one, it doesn't circle back, I mean, stop here. And the only type of singularity is with, for example, the charge Qi equals 1/2 is when this guy equals 1/2. So it only happens for this trend type with An equals 1/2. All the other types, you won't find this 1/2 stuff. Okay. So you see like, whoa, we have this classification. We know any singularities we're interested in is going to be direct sum of this type of singularities. And we want to solve which equation for these singularities. And we want to solve a kind of a singularity problem for the primitive form, for example, to get invariance. And I want to compare. So the first problem which arises in the B model stuff is like we need to find the correct splitting, a good choice of the representative of the mu ring. So this is one of the most difficult calculations in our work. So here's the theorem. We've actually find all of the relevant splitting. So the following basis. Give B, for example. And this, so let me first write it down. First, for this kind of Fermat type, it's very simple. The usual type, 1, x, and the y, you can write down. So this is like an AN type singularity. Second, for this loop type, it's also very simple. It's x, 1, k, 1, x, n, k, n. All of these ki's between 0 and ai minus 1. And it's very easy to check, like this polynomials represent some basis of the Müller ring. But the difficult part of the proof is to show like the higher residual pairing between these small polynomials vanish. And then this is a natural choice. I mean, you can imagine. The last type, the Chen type, it turns out to be something very similar, but just a small modification. Again, with this kind of condition. And this exponents cannot be of the following type. K1 and cannot be something like A1 minus 1, 0, A2 minus 1, 0, essential A2L minus 1, B, and star star, such that B is some number which is bigger than 0. So you have to exclude this set. I mean, then you get the choice of the basis. Again, it's very easy to check. Like this one give you a representative of the Müller ring. But again, the difficult part is to show like the higher residual pairing vanish for all of these polynomials. Okay, but you can find the solution, and that's the answer. Now, as I explained, like starting from this choice, you can build up some kind of like generic functions for the Langlois-Ginzburg B model. And you can solve these weighted equations as well on the mirror. And we want to compare these two set of invariants. So this is the main theorem. So it's like if you try to solve kind of Witten equation on the Riemann surface, this is going to be equivalent to the data F naught. So so let's say genus 0, F GRW invariant. Intersected numbers is going to be the same thing. If you look at the generic function, equals the generic function for the pair, say, orbifold version, the orbifold Langlois-Ginzburg A model. And this is for the B model. And this is the generic function of the mirror singularity for the choice of B, where the B is chosen in this set. That's the theorem. The condition is like if Qi is not equal to 1/2 for W. Again, this condition is only a technical condition. Like this is only because for Qi equals 1/2, we have no way to compute three-point function in this kind of Langlois-Ginzburg A model. Because the way you solve this Witten equation is highly trivial. There's no algebraic method to compute them. But actually, we can prove that even for this special set, I mean, if you can check the three-point function on both sides coincide, then the whole thing has to be the same. So let me explain just a little bit words about this proof. It's going to be very sketchy. So I mean, the main tool we're going to use is the WDBB equation, for example. You know if both sides satisfy the WDBB equation. And it turns out there's large symmetries that can use for these polynomials. So we have some kind of selection rules. But this includes, for example, some kind of degree axiom, similar to the Gomertian theory. And there's some special kind of integer axiom, which is not in the Gomertian theory. But this axiom, for example, in the B model side, represent the fact that this additional symmetry on the singularity is a diagonal symmetry, where this higher order parent, all things like that respect the symmetry. They can get some conditions. So this is the essential symmetry condition. Now, if you look at this data, I mean, again, this is also probably the most difficult calculation. After very lengthy calculation, you find like using this data, you can restrict both sides to only very few initial data. For example, you only need to compare 2-point, 3-point, and 4-point function. And this is a very strong reconstruction theorem. Like, from this very simple data, you can get the whole generating function. It's only purely by symmetry reasons. So that's the first step. Then, to prove the theorem, basically we only need to calculate this a bunch of few numbers. So the calculation on the A side for solving like FW theory is the following: like, it turns out like if QI not equals to 1/2, the simple invariant like 2-point, 3-point, 4-point function for solving Wittgenstein equation has the algebraic interpretation, and because it's the algebraic, we have some turn class calculation. Okay, apply. There's some versions of all before Gomertian Gaussian Riemann rock. Gaussian Riemann formula. And actually, this formula developed by Kyoto, for example, is especially good for calculating these numbers. We want to solve this kind of Wittgenstein equation. And so this basically gives all the data in the A model. And then lambda gives for B model, this calculation. Actually, it's much simpler. I mean, actually, I described to the process, but it's some kind of formula, some kind of perturbative calculation. That is developed by myself and with my collaborators, Lee and Saito. And again, the difficult part is to find the correct volume form to integrate, and that's the permit form I explained in the very beginning. If once you find the correct volume form, you can calculate the period in essential. It turns out you can calculate the period in a very order by order if you want to just get a bunch of like endpoint functions. And there's a recursive way you can do this. I mean, you can calculate it for every case. Again, the difficult part in general is like to use the period map is like, suppose you work with central charge bigger than 1, then you have this kind of irrelevant deformations. The irrelevant deformation give you a non-trivial effect, like if you try to deform a singularity, there's some kind of critical point goes to infinity. So some kind of vanishing cycle goes to infinity. And this gives you a lot of difficulty. But that's why it's very difficult to get the like a closed formula in general. But if you just want to do some kind of perturbation calculation, that's pretty good. And then you just check. And they are indeed the same for both sides. So that's how we got this correspondence. Probably just a bunch of remarks on kind of higher genus. So again, you can solve this Wittgenstein equation on arbitrary higher genus curve and integrate over MG. And on B side, I mean, there's a much easier way of doing this. It's like we need to use the perturbation. So it's like I have a singularity, we just try to perturb it into a bunch of degenerate critical points. And need to apply the analytic property of the pre-potential function, the pre-potential of the Fourier manifold structure. So it means like this allow you to deform to a neighborhood. And there you have a, like a given tau formula you can use. Perturbed theory. So this is like a given tau formula. The idea is like every non-degenerate critical point is like even singularity. It's like a pure gravity. Again, you can combine a bunch of like a written conceptual tau function, apply some kind of Feynman diagrams to get higher genus invariants. And last one, you have to combine this analytic property with this formula to show like you can take the limit back. And this is like a quantum version of the fact, like when you try to construct the residues, I mean, you can do one way, it's like you perturb the singularity to a bunch of non-degenerate points, calculate the sum, take the sum of the residues around each point, and you can show like the limit, you take the limit back. And it's somehow like a quantum version of this. And in this way, you can define your higher genus invariance. Again, there's some bunch of reconstruction theorem you can use by like Telemann and special. You can show like this one coincide with the counting of between equations on the Riemann surface, higher genus. Probably let me stop here.
Can you say something about, I mean, can you go back to Clavius and get the results of the Clavius from the story?
We don't have the general way of it. I mean, in the Lagrangian case, Brian and his group like developed some kind of work crossing process to connect Lagrangian with Clavius. There are infinite walls you have to cross. And also there's another approach like developed by Jun Li and his collaborators. They have a one jump to the, like between like Lagrangian with Clavius side. But they get some complicated combinatorial formula, which so far they cannot solve yet. But it's much easier probably to study from the B side. Yeah. And then it's a very interesting story, like the B side, like you have to collapse your moduli. I mean, one point you have a large complex limit, and the other points have non-logarithmic point. Now you can solve this non-logarithmic point by choosing a correct polarization, this B. And you find like this B change along the way if you move to a large complex limit. They have a change of polarization. And now, like I think Ritani, Ryan, Milanov, I think they proved the case. Like for Fermat types, I mean, they can show this transformation exactly give you a correspondence between this Clavius and non-logarithmic models. So they use actually the Fock space formalism we developed. So, yeah.
So does this mean you can calculate the Hurricanes
model? Well, exactly. They can. These guys are very strong to calculate this one. So. Yeah. That's a highly non-trivial stuff.
Can you add up my strings to this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, so far we don't have the theory so far. I mean, like for example, Fan, FJLW, the Fan. I mean, he told me like they have some kind of open string version developing with his students, but I haven't seen the print yet. On the B side, probably got a couple with, for example, matrix factorizing stuff, like open closed B series theory. Not done yet, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Questions? But let's thank you again.
Thank you.